Hello there. This is Dr. Don Cowan coming to you from South Central Washington State. And it's the time of the year to be thankful. And we look around at things in this world that we can't see too much if we look too far away. I remember hearing somebody just about a week or so ago about having one of the most excruciating pains he ever had. He had a disc blow out on him in his back, and exceedingly great pain clear down to his ankles, all the way up and down. And he had been a man of the Bible and was a man of the Word of God, and anything that he did didn't seem to help until he started to doing something different. And that's the time of season this is that he started speaking out loud and saying, "Thank you that I don't hurt in my other leg. Thank you I don't have a headache. Thank you." And he started just praising God for things that weren't hurting, even though one part was it was causing tears to come to his eyes continually, just because of exceeding great pain. But yet when somehow it released the power of God in his body, and as he continued to praise God and was grateful for the things that he did have, it released power in his body as something changed, and a miracle started taking place, and it was the beginning of the healing of that blown-out disc, and something that's totally impossible, just a miraculous healing. And some healings are instantaneous, some take days or weeks or months. But the Word of God, we have to think about the Word of God especially, because the Word of God is something that is powerful. We read in the book of Proverbs that the power of life and the power of death are in the tongue. What we speak, what we say. We look back and see what how everything was created in the first place. It said it was created not out of nothing, but out of those things which did not appear. But how was it created? It was created by the speaking of word. Now, if God spoke the word, and we are created in his image, and he created everything through the word, then these things that he created, he said he put them under the dominion of man. When he gave them to Adam and Eve, that he gave them, and he said, put everything under your power, under your dominion. The Bible says in other places that he rules the heavens and all the universe, except the earth, because he has given it under the power of men. So when we curse or we bless, what happens? We are in a realm that God created for us, but then it has been changed for the good and for the bad by us, by the words we speak and then the actions we take. But much is done by the word, so we need to be, this is the time of Thanksgiving coming up this next week, the time to give thanks to our Creator. And this was the thing also at the foundation of our nation. Before, when you had the first Thanksgiving, there was a great need, great want, but they were thankful. They were giving thanks. They were thankful to God for what he had done, and they were praising him. And this, you see, there is some secrets, except they're openly told in the Word of God. Those secrets are that the power of God is released through praise and thanksgiving. We see that he inhabits from the Word of God, he inhabits the praises of his people. What does that mean? He comes down and enthrones himself into you, into me, and which causes changes not only in us, but in circumstances, outside circumstances, because it releases the power of God into the earth. The Word of God declares that he does nothing on the earth except that he first reveals it to his prophets. Now, the power of God, he loves us. The power of God, the love and the compassion of God. And we see so much hell on earth, but it's nothing like the total absence of God. You see, there's still restraining power here. There's still the work of God here. We see that in the Bible, when things are forecast into the future, that when it talks about the man of sin or the Antichrist, he won't be revealed. That man of sin won't be revealed until there is taking away the one who restrains. And that is the Holy Spirit's work in the church, in people's lives. When the Holy Spirit is removed from the earth, he was sent here. He was and has been here for those that would turn to their Creator. But it says there's a time that when he will be removed. And it says when he is removed, and most people believe that that's what is commonly called the rapture, when the church is removed, the Holy Spirit is with the church, is that there's this restraining power in the world that causes many times the purpose of evil has been so great that it seems overpowering, but it itself has always been overpowered. But there is a time coming that when the Bible talks about a man of sin coming and being revealed. But you and I don't want to be here at that time, because that is what is commonly called the tribulation time. And now we've seen certainly a fulfillment in Scripture of what Jesus was talking about, a great tribulation to the Jewish people. The tribulation of the Holocaust, we think of that, but even greater tribulation, the greatest probably was at 70 AD. And we see a tremendous, as far as the population was almost annihilated from the whole land, while the population in Europe during the Second World War, as far as the Jews were concerned, Hitler killed 6 million Jews, but there was 11 million he killed in those houses of executed there in those camps. And 6 million happened to be Jews. The other 5 million happened to be gypsies and anybody that was infirmed, anybody that had physical problems or mental problems. They were eliminated, and then they also eliminated a lot of the Christians that sympathized or stood up for the Bible, and along with the others. And so we come back to this place that that God is good, but he has given this earth over to mankind. And so we look around and see all the problems on the earth, and we look and realize from the Bible what the Word of God declares, that the reason why is because of man, because he's given dominion to man over the earth, even though he has controlled and kept control of the rest of the universe. So, but he keeps working in man and the redemption, and he has sent his son Jesus Christ because he so loved the world. says that we see that in John and over in the Bible, is that he did greatly love us, and he wanted nobody to perish. Even though the Bible talks about predestination, and we are in the book of Ephesians, and we've covered that a little bit last week. The predestination was God has predestined us to walk in good works and to accomplish those things because he sees those of us that choose him. We see also from the Word of God that, at least my understanding of it, is that everybody's name was written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, before the foundation of the earth. Now, I may be wrong, but that's the way I read it. But it talks about it that we need to be careful that our name is not blotted out of it. And so it's God's purpose, his love and compassion for us, that his desire is that all should be saved. That's you, all your friends, your enemies, and myself, and all of us. That's his desire, is that all of us might be saved. Now, that certainly doesn't mean that everybody shall be, because we understand perfectly well that he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. And so it's because he's God's only begotten Son. He is the one that created everything. God, we see in Scripture, God the Father, it was created through him, and his Son spoke it into existence. And so we've here in Ephesians, and we saw so many things about who we are. In the first few verses of Ephesians, which is probably, it's been called both the Alps of the New Testament as far as a peak, and also has the depth of the Grand Canyon in it, because it's even though it's such a small book of only six small chapters, and could be there and sit down and read in certainly in less than an hour, that yet you could spend months in it because of the revelation of God in it. Now, we covered last week, one of the things was we saw that you and I were created for a purpose. And one of those purposes that we were certainly created for, it says three times in verses 6, 12, and 14 that we were created and that we were for the purpose, for the praise of the glory of God. That his desire is that for every spiritual blessing. Now, this is directed to those that are Christians. So this isn't directed to everybody, but remember his desire is that everybody should call on the name of the Lord God Almighty and come to him, your creator. And so we see in that he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. He predestinated us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, and it was his good pleasure to do it. It wasn't something he begrudgingly did because his nature was good, and well, since my nature's good, I've got to provide a way and bring these people into right relationship with me. No, it's because there's a compassion. There's a God. You see that the instincts in us of love and compassion are also in him. We also understand that he talk about anger. He tells us that we can be angry, but don't sin, and don't let the sun go down on our anger. That we're not supposed to carry it forward from a day to another day. That we are supposed to, when there are things, as far as when we're giving gifts to God, if we have something against our neighbor, we are supposed to go and get things right between us and our neighbor, and then present our offering before God. You see, God doesn't want things in our hearts tearing us away. And as long as we have unforgiveness in our heart or something against a neighbor, or that we have done them wrong and we know we need to confess it, we know we need to go make amends, that he says, don't bother presenting your offering to me. Go and get yourself right before your neighbor, and then come back and present that offering to me. So the Word of God is so practical in so many ways. He talks about our redemption, our forgiveness for our sins that we covered. It says that that as far as wisdom, he desires in all wisdom and prudence that we might know the mystery of his will. And as I said, once again, that ended especially coming back to the fact of that we are created for the praise of his glory. And if we are created for a purpose, if you've ever noticed something that there's so many things that are created, we create as mankind for a particular purpose. And if they're not being used for that, they are either just being set on a shelf or something and they have no use, they're just sitting there forever, or they might be used for the wrong job and it never quite works out right. They might be used for some other job and it might cause their destroying, the destruction or whatever, just because they're being used for some other purpose. So it is with us. We are often using our lives for a purpose that was not intended by God, and it causes our own destruction because we're using our lives for something that we were not created for. In verse 15, the book of Ephesians is in the book of New Testament, and New Testament is the last one-fourth of your Bible. And Ephesians is about halfway through that. And so I'd encourage you to just open it up to the book of Ephesians. It's right after the Gospels and then Acts and Romans and 1st, 2nd Corinthians and Galatians. Then comes Ephesians. And we're most of the way or a little over halfway through the book, the first chapter. Okay, verse 15 it says, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Well, Paul is probably amazing not only his understanding of God, but just simple things like he's probably has the longest sentences that I run across. You look through the Bible, look through many other writings, and some of his sentences go on and on. So when you you want to stop and consider certain things. And the thing is, you have to read through the whole sentence. He has a couple sentences there. And the first one went 90% or so, 85% through that whole reading. But let us look back to this and see what it had to deal with. He's talking about your faith. He's talking to Christians. He's talking to these Ephesians. These Ephesians are, Paul actually, that is the one place that he spent a considerable amount of time. Probably the most time as far as other than maybe where he started out from, around Antioch in Syria. And after him being saved and this miracle of being this vision that he had, but it also was this great light was seen by all these guards on horses that were going with him and soldiers that were going with him to arrest Christians, and all of a sudden he's confronted, and they see this brilliant light and hear this great noise, but they didn't, it was Saul who became Paul at that encounter was the one that saw Jesus and heard his voice. And here is this man that just spewed out hatred and destruction to the church, and now he was told at his conversion that by the prophet that was sent to him when he was blind, God had said to him, that Jesus Christ had said to him that you must go and he will be revealed to him how many great things he must suffer for the church. And so he did probably suffer far more than even though all the other disciples were executed in various forms except one, and John they tried to execute a couple times by boiling in oil, at least two times if not three. And here is this man saying that I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. So he's getting actually excited about that, because it's not only started, but it's continuing on. Now, I've mentioned before, maybe a few programs ago, that at a later time, I think a month ago, I mentioned about this Ephesians when we first started talking about them, that at the time of the end of the first century, this is back when this was written, it's probably about 61 AD, by the time of the millennium, I mean not the millennium, but end of the first century, there's a letter, revelation of John, which is Jesus Christ, revelation of Jesus Christ to John the Apostle, was about 40, probably 35 to 40 years after this was written. And in that, the Ephesians, the church at Ephesus, was commended for so many things, but they said, the one bad thing about them was that you have lost your first love, that you need to return to it. So they had gotten down their theology or their understanding that theo means God. Ology is the study of God. So they had gotten down their study of God right. They had gotten down the miracles right. The miracles were happening. They were doing, had sound doctrine, sound learning, probably better than anybody else, but the problem was that their heart started to grow cold, because it started to become a form, and so at that point it was stir up those things that are alive in you and bring things back to life. So they had the right words and the right understanding of things, but they had to increase. He was spoke to them about their love, compassion, and passion. And so here, this is 35 to 40 years earlier, and it's speaking here of they are very vibrant at this point. Of I've heard of your faith in the Lord. I've heard of your love for the saints. And I do not cease to give thanks for you. I continually make mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Father of glory may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And that's what you and I need. That's exactly what we need. Because just by reading the Bible, you see, without God in us, without the Holy Spirit in us, and not just that, without the Holy Spirit then giving us this, we need this, exactly what he said. Now, what did he say here? That he said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Father of glory may give to you. That's to you and to me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So it takes both of those. You see, there's a lot of people know that there is a God. The demons all know that there is God, and they're afraid because they know that they're in as far as in judgment. But you see, for us, this is God's desire for us. And he says, this, we can say this as a prayer. We can pray this for ourselves. This was what Paul's prayer, and this is the Holy Spirit, God in Paul, is speaking this. He's speaking this to the Ephesians, but you have to remember that this book, above all the other letters, was meant. You see, many of the other letters were meant for specific churches, but not so with the Ephesians. The Ephesians was a headquarters. It was a place that the whole country, the whole continent there was being fed through. And what was happening at that Ephesian church, that's why there's not the personal comments in this like many of the letters, they said, okay, Tychicus is delivering it to you, and he will tell you that those things that I wanted to say personally, basically. And so this is directed to the whole church. And it just happens to be that this is the best way to get it to the whole church is send it to Ephesus, and because if it's sent to Ephesus, then everybody comes there and everybody goes through there, that it will be spread throughout the whole region. And it'll be spread for thousands, hundreds, and even thousands of miles from here, because it's like a headquarters place. Of there's a great trade, and you're looking at what I have read from various places. Some things, the least I've heard that was maybe a little over half a million, but the most authoritative one is that it's perhaps up to 1.1 million people in here, and so this is, which would make it an exceedingly large city at that time, for a city to be that large way back then. That's an exceedingly large city. Especially when you consider the style and the size of there's no skyscrapers or anything to hold all of them. So you've got much smaller buildings, and so this is a sizable, very sizable city. And this is the desire of God for you, that to give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Now, you know, there's something about God. God, even though he gives freely, he doesn't give when we don't ask and seek him. He says that those will find him who diligently seek him. So, it's not something that is easy. It's basically free, but we don't have to pay for it with money or goods, but we have to pay for it with our focus and diligence and desire, so that it has to be first. You see, Jesus said to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things that you do have need of will be added to you. Well, what's the condition of everything that you need to be given to you? The condition of that is to seek him first and his righteousness. So here it's his desire that, and this is the prayer for you and for me, is that he may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Well, just reading, just hearing people speak, just reading the Bible. You know, lots of people can read the Bible, and they realize its history. They can realize, okay, there's lots of good ideas there. And they read it and realize that there's really something special about this Jesus, and that he's probably the greatest teacher ever, but without this spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, which comes from God, that's where it ends. It does not bring life. You see, it needs to take this revelation and wisdom. The book of Proverbs talks, especially in the first part, there's 2, 3, 4 chapters there that just deal over, and it's mentioned again and again throughout the book of Proverbs, dealing with knowledge and understanding and wisdom. And to gain knowledge, then to gain understanding, and to gain wisdom. And we think of things like, we often think of understanding as wisdom. But I don't believe that anymore. I don't believe that wisdom is truly wisdom unless it's manifest in our lives, that we may gain the knowledge. I've gained a bunch of knowledge in various things, but that doesn't mean that it has helped me. Okay, so I've got to go beyond that knowledge. Because knowledge is a lots of dumb smart people, dumb geniuses, that they have a brilliant mind and they can acquire great knowledge. But then what happens after that? Do they understand it? Okay. They come to this place that they've gathered all this knowledge, and then they understand it. But unless they can take it the next step and put it and use it in their lives, have they really gained any wisdom at all? I ask that about myself too, and especially about the Word of God. I look in my life and I know I've gained knowledge. I know I've gained understanding. And I see some wisdom. But then in many areas that I've not been able to apply that understanding, I would say that I have not gained wisdom there. Because there's not the evidence of it. Well, then we come to the, so how do we get it? Well, one of the things is, We have to believe for it, because the Bible actually says faith is the evidence of those things hoped for. And believe for and hope for, and it's also its substance. And so we have to, if we don't see the physical facts of the wisdom being there, then we need to seek God and seek Him for what we want. And when we seek Him for what we want, we have to believe that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, that He loves us and He tells us to ask Him, and that we ask Him in Jesus' name, and that when the Bible says, there's a verse in the New Testament that says in John, the book of John, and it says to ask, and the door, to ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open to you. Well, what that is in the Greek, it's actually, it's a term that is a continuing term, like ask and keep on asking, and it will be given to you. Seek and keep on seeking, and you will find. Knock and keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. Now, it doesn't come through in the translation that way, but that is the original Greek. And that is God, if it goes right back to the same thing, that those who diligently seek God will find Him. Well, it's the same thing in those things that we have asked of Him. Some things we might receive immediately, and some things it's sort of like we don't receive immediately. And if we give up there, then that's what we end with, nothing. There's a place in our asking, though, that will come with your knowledge, as far as if you know your Creator, there will come an assurance that you have it. So at that place, when you have it, you continue praying, not for it, because from that place that you know you have it, then you continue from there thanking Him. So you're still praying, but it's a part thank you. It's that part of your prayer about that certain area. You haven't seen the facts of it, but you've seen the truth of it. You have received it by faith. Then you come back to God and start praising Him for it. You see, the Bible talks about that the angels in heaven do nothing except by the word of God. So we use the word of God. We can't just, as far as we will speak, well, this is what the word of God, this is what Jesus Christ declared. And He taught His disciples these things. I am one of His disciples. And so you declare that to Him. You bring the word of God back to Him in faith. And you speak this in your prayer. So you are praying not only your heart's desire, but you are praying it from a scriptural, from a word of God point of view. And because you're using God Almighty, the Creator's words, and you're taking them back to Him, then you see the you are praying the will of God. The Bible also says in 1 John that 1 John is a separate book from the book of John. It's there's three little books in the back called of the New Testament in the back of the Bible called 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And one of them talks about, I think it's in the 4th or 5th chapter of the book, that it says, if we have made our request to God and we know it's the will of God, then we know it's the will of God. If we know it's the will of God, then we also know that we have, not shall have, we have those requests we have made of Him. So, you see, this is the thing in prayer. We come to this place sometimes, is that sometimes we come to this place in prayer that we pray for something. We're asking and keep on asking it. And all of a sudden it comes. It's like the Holy Spirit gives you this assurance that you have it. Now, you haven't seen it yet with your physical eyes, but you know that you have it because you have prayed it. It was according to the will of God in Scripture that you could go to Scriptures and know that it's God's will for you to have, that He's wanted you to ask, and therefore you come to this place and assurance also from the Holy Spirit that it is yours. And then from that point on, you have it. You may not have seen it yet, but you start praising. Instead, when you come to prayer, you don't keep asking Him the same thing. You come to prayer and say about that individual thing is you thank Him that He has heard you and that He has answered you. Now we see a place where Daniel is in the Old Testament. There's 12 chapters in Daniel, and it talks about in one place that he started praying to God for something in particular, and the answer didn't come for, I think it was 21 days, 20 or 21, I think it was 21 days. And the angel came to him and said that from the very moment you started to pray, the answer was given and provided for you. However, there was resistance. There was, as far as, basically, there was war in the heavenlies. And I was sent to give you that. But as far as I was fighting the king of Persia. And we talk about physical kings, but there's also spiritual entities over nations that have control and have great influence over the hearts and minds of leaders of nations. There are ones assigned by God. There's also ones assigned by the devil. And so he said that this was from the very beginning of your prayers, it was already answered, but it took this amount of time for it to come. And because of other things, there's this warfare over it or over something else that prevented the immediate answer that you had wanted. So we don't understand these things. This is why sometimes it says, like here, that it says that God, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. So we need that. That's verse 17 of chapter 1 of the book of Ephesians. Let's go on here and finish off this chapter here that we read through quickly, but there's so much in here. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. You know, that's what you and I all need. We all need a hope. What is your hope? Who's your hope in? You see, he's talking here for these people. And remember, it's not just the Ephesians, because this Ephesian letter was meant for the whole church. It's not like some of the other letters that were meant for specific congregations. The Ephesian letter was meant differently, that it was for every church. And so he's talking about for all that call on God, that you want to know God, and that you do know God, and that because you do know God, you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, that this prayer is for you, that He sees that you have faith and you have love for all the saints. He says he makes praise and thanksgiving for you in his prayers and mention of you in his prayers. And the reason why is that you may have the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him, that your eyes of your understanding may be enlightened. Now, understanding doesn't, you know, you have, you and I have both known that we can have knowledge about something, but perhaps there's not that, it just hasn't clicked. And then all of a sudden we gain, go beyond the knowledge, and all of a sudden we gain the, what is it? It's that understanding. And it's like a gift. It's like it was there, but it was inaccessible. Well, God wants to make known to you and make accessible those things you have need of. Even though those things are there and available and free, they're not just handed out to everyone. It's to those that seek him. That's where, in seeking him and desiring him, that's where the gifts of God come from. That reminds me, this part of a prayer that I want to pray with you, and I want to pray with you right now, and the last part of that prayer deals with this. In this prayer, I usually pray most every program, but it has a great meaning to those who receive it into their heart. And that is, there's only two types of people in this world, those who are saved and those who are about to be saved. The question is to you, which one are you? That's right, which one? Are you already saved? Are you one that's about to be saved? You can't declare openly and know absolutely that you're saved. Then I ask you to go ahead and repeat these words after me. The Bible says that we are, how are we saved? It's by believing in our heart and confessing with our mouth. So I just ask you to speak this out loud, because that's how God created things, was by speaking things out loud. It was the Word of God that created things. And it's the Word of God coming out of your lips, and by the belief in your heart, that can open up the relationship that he has already made a way for, to have, for you to have with your Creator. Just repeat this after me. Father, forgive my sins. Jesus, come into my heart. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. Thank you for saving me. My question for you right now is, where's Jesus? If you prayed, Jesus, come into my heart, and you prayed that and you believed and asked for that in faith, then he's in your heart right now. And you become a new creation. It's the word of God after that that you spoke was, make me the kind of person you want me to be. Well, that's back here to the scripture. When we're asking him to make us, he's saying here that may the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Well, this is where we say, make me the kind of person you want me to be. So how does that come? That comes through the spirit of wisdom. It comes through the spirit of revelation and the knowledge of him. It's our understanding being enlightened. So all of a sudden those facts and knowledge that we knew a lot of things about God, all of a sudden that enlightening process we'd come to know God. So we've gone past to knowing about Him. Almost everybody, most people know something about God. But yet less than half of people know God. And so here, this is what we desire, is that our understanding be enlightened, that we may know the hope of God's calling in you and in me, and to know also what are the riches of His glory and what is His inheritance in us. We've got an inheritance in Him, but He also has an inheritance in us. What is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe? Did you know that? He has a greatness of power toward us. That means for us who believe, He has power for us. What sort of power is this? It says it's according to the working of His mighty power. Well, if it's according to the working of His mighty power, that sounds mighty powerful. Well, what does it say in verse 20? And what was this power? It, the part of this power was which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand of in heavenly places. So this is a mighty power. It took a dead body that there was no life in, and after 3-4 days, all of a sudden, 3 days, 3 nights, this all of a sudden life come back in. This is the power that He also wants to work in us. To not only was Jesus raised from the dead, but there's going to be a time that we are raised from the dead. From this physical body, it talks about in the Bible that we are going to have a new body. It says here that He was raised up far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but in what is the age to come. And that God Almighty has put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. We see in other places in Scripture that's the place that everything will. You see, on this earth, this is the only place that He has turned over to man. And it will once again come under His total control and power. He has given it here. He has established it also for all those who believe and trust in Him, that we be thankful. This is the time of thanksgiving. This is the time that we should give our thanks to God that He loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. Your everlasting life, you see, He wants that to start now. That we can be in the world, it says, be in the world, but not of the world. He also says, greater is He that is in you than he who is in the world. Who is He talking about? He's talking about Jesus Christ. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. If Jesus Christ is your Lord, then greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. This is Dr. Don Cowan coming to you from South Central Washington State. And I have a few books left that I would be glad to send out free to anybody that would write in. My address is, you can address it either to Dr. Don Cowan, or to Global Redeeming Ministries. Either way, That's Dr. Don Cowan or Global Redeeming Ministries. And the address is 540, and it's Cowan Lane. It happens to be the same lane name as my name, just because my grandfather came here, I think it's 100 years ago this next month. And so it's Wapato, W-A-P-A-T-O, Washington, 98951. Once again, that's 540 Cowan Lane, Wapato, Washington, 98951. And send along your prayer request, and I hope to be with you again in 1 week from now. God bless you.